Chapter 5. Townshend enters. Townshend. Miss Julia Pryor, you are a wonder. I watch you with respect and surprise. Miss Peamy. What have I done? A poor friendless governess respect me? Townshend. I have a mind to tell those two ladies what I think of Miss Julia Pryor. If they knew you as I know you, oh Julia Pryor, what a short reign yours would be. Miss P, I have to manage them a little. Each separately it is not so difficult. But when they are together, oh, it is very hard sometimes. Enter Millican dressed, shakes hands with Miss P. Millican. Miss Pryor, are you well? Have the children been good, and learned all their lessons? Miss P, the children are pretty good, sir. Millican. Well, that's a great deal as times go. Do not bother them with too much learning, Miss Pryor. Let them have an easy life. Time enough for trouble when age comes. Enter John. John. Dinner, sir. And exit. Millican. Dinner, ladies. My Lady Kickleberry gives arm to Lady K. Lady K. My dear Horace, you shouldn't shake hands with Miss Pryor. You should keep people of that class at a distance, my dear creature. They go into dinner, Captain Townshend following with Mrs. Bonington. As they go out, enter Mary with children's tea tray, and see, children following, and after them Mrs. Pryor. Mary gives her tea. Mrs. Pryor. Thank you, Mary. You are so very kind. Oh, what delicious tea. Georgie. I say, Mrs. Pryor, I dare say you would like to dine best, wouldn't you? Mrs. P. Bless you, my darling love, I had my dinner at 1 o'clock with my children at home. Georgie. So had we. But we go into dessert very often, and then don't we have cakes and oranges, and candied peel and macaroons and things. We are not to go in today, because Bella ate so many strawberries she made herself ill. Bella. So did you. Georgie. I'm a man, and men eat more than women, twice as much as women. When I'm a man I'll eat as much cake as ever I like. I say, Mary, give us the marmalade. Mrs. P. Oh, what nice marmalade. I know of some poor children, Miss P. Mama. Don't, Mama, in an imploring tone. Mrs. P. I know of two poor children at home, who have very seldom nice marmalade and cake, young people. George. You mean Adolphus and Frederick and Amelia, your children. Well, they shall have marmalade and cake. Bella. Oh, yes. I'll give them mine. Mrs. P. Darling, dearest child. George, his mouth full, I won't give them mine. But they can have another pot, you know. You have always got a basket with you, Mrs. Pryor. I know you have. You had it that day you took the cold fowl. Mrs. P. For the poor blind black man. Oh, how thankful he was. George. I don't know whether it was for a black man. Mary, get us another pot of marmalade. Mary. I don't know, Master George. George. I will have another pot of marmalade. If you don't, I'll smash everything I will. Bella. Oh, you naughty, rude boy. George. Hold your tongue. I will have it. Mary shall go and get it. Mrs. P. Do humor him, Mary, and I'm sure my poor children at home will be the better for it. George. There's your basket. Now put this cake in, and this pat of butter, and this sugar. Hooray, hooray. Oh, what jolly fun. Tell Adolphus and Amelia I sent it to them. Tell them they shall never want for anything, as long as George Kickleberry Millican Esquire can give it them. Did Adolphus like my gray coat that I didn't want? Miss P. You did not give him your new gray coat? George. Don't you speak to me. I'm going to school. I'm not going to have no more governesses soon. Mrs. P. Oh, my dear Master George, what a nice coat it is, and how well my poor boy looked in it. Miss P. Don't, Mama. I pray and entreat you not to take the things. Enter John from dining room with a tray. John. Some cream, some jelly, a little champagne. Miss Pryor, I thought you might like some. George. Oh, jolly. Give us hold of the jelly. Give us a glass of champagne. John. I will not give you any. George. I'll smash every glass in the room if you don't. I'll cut my fingers. I'll poison myself there. I'll eat all this sealing wax if you don't, and it's rank poison, you know it is. Mrs. P. My dear Master George. Exit John. George. Ha, ha. I knew you'd give it me. Another boy taught me that. Bella. And a very naughty, rude boy. George. He. Hold your tongue, miss. And said he always got wine so. And so I used to do it to my poor mama, Mrs. Pryor. Used to like mama much. Bella. Oh, you wicked boy. Georgie. She used to see us much. She used to say I tried her nerves. What's nerves, Mrs. Pryor? Give us some more champagne. We'll have it. Ha, ha, ha. Ain't it jolly? Now I'll go out and have a run in the garden. Runs into garden, Mrs. P. And you, my dear? Bella. I shall go and resume the perusal of the Pilgrim's Progress, which my grandpapa, Mr. Bonington, sent me. Exit Arabella. Miss P. How those children are spoiled. Goodness, what can I do? If I correct one, he flies to Grandmama Kickleberry. If I speak to another, she appeals to Grandmama Bonington. When I was alone with them, I had them in something like order. Now, between the one grandmother and the other, the children are going to ruin, and so would the house too. But that owl, that odd, rude, but honest and intelligent creature, I must say, keeps it up. It is wonderful how a person in his rank of life should have instructed himself so. He really knows, I really think he knows more than I do myself. Mrs. P. Julia, dear. Miss P., what is it, Mama? Mrs. P., your little sister wants some underclothing sadly, Julia dear, and poor Adolphus's shoes are quite worn out. Miss P., I thought so. I have given you all I could, Mama. Mrs. P., yes, my love. You are a good love, and generous, heaven knows, to your poor old mother who has seen better days. If we had not wanted, would I have ever allowed you to be a governess, a poor degraded governess? If that brute O'Reilly who lived on our second floor had not behaved so shamefully wicked to you, and married Miss Flack, the singer, might you not have been editress of the Champion of Liberty at this very moment, and had your opera box every night?
She drinks champagne while talking, and excites herself.
Miss P. don't take that, Mama. Mrs. P. don't take it? Why, it costs nothing. Milliken can afford it. Do you suppose I get champagne every day? I might have had it as a girl, when I first married your father, and we kept our gig and horse, and lived at Clapham, and had the best of everything. But the coal trade is not what it was, Julia. We met with misfortunes, Julia, and we went into poverty. And your poor father went into the bench for 23 months, 2 years, all but a month he did, and my poor girl was obliged to dance at the Auberg Theatre, yes you were, at 10 shillings a week, in the Oriental Ballet of The Bulbul and the Rose. You were, my poor darling child. Miss P. Hush, hush, Mama. Mrs. P. And we kept a lodging house in Berry Street, St. James, which your father's brother furnished for us, who was an extensive oil merchant. He brought you up, and afterwards he quarreled with my poor James, Robert Pryor did, and he died, not leaving us a shilling. And my dear eldest boy went into a wine merchant's office. And my poor darling Julia became a governess, when you had had the best of education at Clapham. You had, Julia. And to think that you were obliged, my blessed thing, to go on in the Oriental Ballet of Heroes, and the Bull, Miss P. Mama, hush, hush. Forget that story. Enter Paige from dining room. Paige. Miss Pryor. Please, the ladies are coming from the dining room. Mrs. B. have had her 2 glasses of port, and her ladyship is now telling the story about the Prince of Wales, when she danced with him at Canton House. Exit Paige. Miss P. quick, quick. There, take your basket. Put on your bonnet, and good night, Mama.
here is a half sovereign and 3 shillings. It is all the money I have in the world. Take it, and buy the shoes for Adolphus.
Mrs. P. And the underclothing, my love little Amelia's underclothing?
Miss P. We will see about it.
Good night, kisses her. Don't be seen here, Lady K doesn't like it.
Enter gentlemen and ladies from dining room.
Lady K. We follow the continental fashion. We don't sit after dinner, Captain Touchett.
Captain T confound the continental fashion. I like to sit a little while after dinner aside.
Mrs. B. So does my dear Mr. Bonington, Captain Touchett. He likes a little port wine after dinner.
Touchett. I'm not surprised at it, ma'am.
Mrs. B. When did you say your son was coming, Lady Kickleberry?
Lady K. My Clarence. He will be here immediately, I hope, the dear boy. You know my Clarence?
Touchett. Yes, ma'am.
Lady K. And like him, I'm sure, Captain Touchett. Everybody does like Clarence Kickleberry.
Touchett. The confounded young scamp.
I say, Horace, do you like your brother-in-law?
Milliken.
Well, I can't say I like him, in fact, I don't. But that's no reason why his mother shouldn't.
During this, Howell, preceded by Bulkley, hands round coffee. The garden without us darkened, as if evening. Bulkley is going away without offering coffee to Miss Pryor. John stamps on his foot, and points to her. Captain Touchett, laughing, goes up and talks to her now the servants are gone.
Mrs. B. Horace, I must tell you that the waste at your table is shocking. What is the need of opening all this wine? You and Lady Kickleberry were the only persons who took champagne.
Touchett, I never drink it, never touch the rubbish. Too old a stager.
Lady K. Port, I think, is your favorite, Mrs. Bonington?
Mrs. B. My dear lady, I do not mean that you should not have champagne, if you like.
Pray, don't be angry. But why on earth, for you, who take so little, and Horace, who only drinks it to keep you company, should not Howell open a pint instead of a great large bottle?
Lady K. O. Howell. We must not mention Howell, my dear Mrs. Bonington.
Howell is faultless. Howell has the keys of everything.
Howell is not to be controlled in anything.
Howell is to be at liberty, to be rude to my servant.
Milliken.
Is that all? I am sure I should have thought your man was big enough to resent any rudeness from poor little Howell.
Lady K. Horace. Excuse me for saying that you don't know the class of servant to whom Bulkley belongs.
I had him, as a great favor, from Lord Toddleby.
That class of servant is accustomed generally not to go out single.
Milliken. Unless they are too behind a carriage perch they pine away, as one love bird does without his mate.
Lady K.
No doubt.
I only say you are not accustomed here in this kind of establishment, you understand, to that class of Mrs. B. Lady Kickleberry.
Is my son's establishment not good enough for any powdered monster in England?
Is the house of a British merchant?
Lady K. My dear creature.
It is the house of a British merchant, and a very comfortable house.
Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.